This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, it's just us. We can do it. We can get away with it. Julie is not here to hit either of us. We can't be. We can't be violenced upon.
The cat's away. The mice will play. Mm-hmm. Apparently. So, welcome everybody to another edition of the Blacklist on AfterBuzz Blacklist After Show. Joe Braswell is out on assignment, aka drunk.
He's probably in Vegas somewhere doing something terrible.
He's out of town, which means he's drunk. We're missing Julia Caroli as well, who is she saw this episode and then got drunk after watching her favorite Tom Keen. And but you know, look who returns! Look who returns!
Nice to be here with you guys.
It's Joe Sanfilippo, everybody. Joe Sanfilippo joining me, Nando Velasquez. And you can find us both on Twitter. If you're looking at us live, we're streaming live on YouTube. You can look at our Twitter handles below, but mine is Nando Vel, and yours is Joe Flippo.
You got it.
And you can continue the conversation on AfterBuzz Blacklist by doing hashtag ABTV Blacklist. And then otherwise, just catch us on the usual places. YouTube, AfterBuzzTV.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, Smoke Signals, ESP. All that, right?
Definitely. I'm going to send out some signals right now.
And apologies for people who were expecting a Blacklist show on Thursday night. You know, stuff happens. We weren't able to make it, but we know this is a really huge episode, so we wanted to make sure that we properly covered this, even if the person who loves Tom King the most is not in the room with us.
Yes, and it's very sad. But
We love him too, just not in the same way.
Yeah, and we played her favorite song, so I think that we've done our homage.
And before we just got on, you even told me your wife watches The Blacklist.
It was a weird experience. I watched it because normally I watch it with you guys, and we all have our things that we're kind of pet peeve about. But watching it with my wife was pretty funny because, you know, to watch her try and like dance around why she liked the character Tom Keen without coming out and saying he's hot. Like, it was hilarious. She's like, no, well, you know, it's a character. I understand why people are, because, you know,
he's doing push-ups. You know, he's doing pull-ups.
He's mysterious. Yeah. You know, does he love her? Does he not? I understand. I'm like, he's hot. You can just say it. She's like, well, it's not that. No, it's not that. I'm like, yeah, it is that simple. Absolutely. But it was very funny. And you know what was neat? She liked the show a lot. She really loved it.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
I've been trying to tell you guys for weeks.
I think we all as a group kind of get in like a cycle of like, here are the things that bug us. And then when they come up with, you know, but,
this was a big episode. I will say this. There were times in particular in this episode over other episodes that I felt were a bit campy.
You thought so?
Yes. There were a couple of really overly, dramatic scenes. Like the judge in the defiant judge talking with Tom Connolly. And,
I gotta respectfully disagree with you because I'd like to discuss that, you know, when we get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
But I thought that was well done.
Even the task force when they were discussing, when all the secrets were coming out and everyone was like, we have to get Tom Keen, the one man that can exonerate, you know.
Yes.
That was a little campy. But in a fun way. But campy doesn't necessarily have to mean bad. Campy doesn't have to be negative. It just meant a little over-dramatic. Like, I could see this on a sitcom where the lead characters are watching TV and they show a clip of The Blacklist for comic effect.
Yes. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Like Matthew McConaughey in the Lincoln commercials. There's a little bit of over. I got you.
Like Matthew McConaughey in the Lincoln commercials. But I love this episode, and this was a big episode. This is the highest or lowest number we've seen yet for a Blacklister. Which is very confusing. This even beats the one that was lowest before Tom Keene was Berlin, who was number 8.
Now Tom Keene is below or above.
I guess we're assuming the higher the number, the more. I don't know if it's more deadly now because it doesn't make sense to have Tom Keene. I mean, I guess he's deadly, but he's also.
Well, maybe because, I mean, very clearly last episode when the judge was talking to Liz, very clearly the writers wanted to let everybody know, like, we do actually have a mechanism for this. Because, you know, the judge was asking her, like, is there a reason you have these, is there a rhyme to the rankings on this blacklist? Do you have a. And so clearly they've given enough thought to it that there is, mm-hmm. and they wanted us to know that they have. And so obviously Tom being number 7 must have something to do in relation to the list, but obviously it can't be based on deadliness. You're right. Well, it has to be based on something else. There's other criteria we don't know about.
The only criteria I could think of that would put him so high besides how close he is to the task force because he was undercover as Lizzie's husband
right.
is the fact that, you know, we found out last week that he betrayed Red by getting a better offer from Berlin while he was already
so is that
on
so
the job.
So is that how we're structuring the list? Is it based on how mad Red is at you?
I guess so. I would assume that. But if Red's really mad at Tom Keene, I would be surprised that he would leave him standing. He would let him live.
Well,
or
Red,
walk.
Red's he uses a lot of strategery.
Yes,
and so he must have a strategic plan for leaving old Tom in place as opposed to whacking him.
Somewhat,
because
yeah, as opposed to whacking him.
Because they're, you know, he gets less out of killing him than what you call it, than
absolutely.
Keeping
him. But we do see, you know, it's great seeing Tom back. I think I mentioned this last week, I believe, or the week before, how we used to make fun of him so much in season one until his character finally started changing, and now we just eagerly anticipated this episode to see him. And from the very first scene, it didn't really disappoint when we saw him pretty much beating the hell out of that guy in Germany, in Dresden, Germany,
yeah.
and saying, you know, if you give us the information, the money, you'll get to live. And,
you said I'd get to walk.
No, he said, you said I'd get to walk. He goes, no, I said you get to live. Smash! Yeah, and totally smashed his kneecap in, left the guy crawling on the floor. So, I mean, I love seeing badass Tom. It's a lot of fun. And then we see Lizzie, back with Judge Renner, who is giving her the fifth degree or whatever degree you want to call that for lying, because now they have, the smoking gun, or rather the bullet case, the
bullet casing.
Yeah, the bullet casing from Samuel Lecco with traces of his blood, and it's registered to her gun. So, obviously, the story that she gave last week, that she never met the guy, she never saw the guy.
It was false.
Yeah, it was false. And not only was it false for her, it was false for Harold Cooper,
yep.
who committed
perjury. And Samuel Lecco. And then what is going to happen to Lecco here now that this whole thing? Interesting.
He gets the bone in his ear back.
So he gets his ear bone back, and he gets
his ear bone back.
So is that how it works when you're leaving prison? They're like giving you the list of stuff. Here's your wallet, $42.50. Ear bone, and then you walk out the door.
Yeah, pretty much.
I got it.
Well, no, I'm sure I don't see him in the store any longer now that after what happened this episode. So, you know, maybe we'll see him somewhere down the line, but I doubt it. But anyway, so we're dealing with perjury. We're dealing with right now. Lizzie is in danger of, you know, going to prison for what they say is life. For committing murder for the harbormaster, but also because she committed perjury. There's no way out of this. Red seems to disagree. Red wants to go for Tom. We saw him do this last week in the major. And guess what? Now the whole task force knows exactly what happened. Now the whole task force
right.
knows that Tom Keene's alive, that Lizzie was holding him hostage in the ship, in the Phoenix, and that you know, she's been keeping secret and everything.
You know what's interesting about it? No one blinks an eye.
Yeah.
No one bats an eye for a second. So I think it's, you know, as a device, you just move the whole team. And I think that's been the overarching device of the last few episodes. The whole team has been, and if you look at it as, if you go from like the start when the super secret task force was first formed, mm-hmm. everybody was very rules, rules, rules. What is Lizzie doing here? Doesn't make any sense. She's a brand new agent. She shouldn't be a part of this. Why is she involved? We're the super secret task force is formed. Red Reddington, we don't want to make this deal. We have to make this deal. And now a year and a half later, the whole thing has shifted so far to the right or left, depending on, you know, however you want to look at it, so far away from that into a completely gray zone. And it just kind of, it's interesting to me that no one bats an eyelash at the idea that she was holding Tom hostage, lied to the task force about whether or not he was dead, held him in a ship that a harbor master was murdered, then buried, we hid the body. All that stuff is revealed. Everybody goes, blink, blink. Okay, moving on. And that, you know, the whole thing has turned very, very, very gray. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's interesting. It speaks very much to where this is all kind of going, that this greater good idea. And I think this is what, you know, Judge Renner, John Finn, who is terrific. This guy, he's such a good actor. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Mm-hmm. I buy everything he says. There is nothing he said. I'm like, you're a flipping judge. There's no question in my mind.
He's good.
He's great.
He's good. And he gets everyone, well, he gets them somewhat talk. I mean, here's the one thing that I find weird, though. After Lizzie spilled the beans on everything, we commented a lot last week on how, oh my God, she's telling him every single secret, and then all of a sudden she turns on him and lies about not seeing Samuel Echo, about Tommy
right.
being dead. But she pretty much gives everything else away.
Right.
So here comes this guy and the stenographer. The court reporter.
That's what I've never understood.
Just
why
this
stenographer
listening to all
this poor woman? I kept thinking that someone's going to turn around any minute and just shoot her.
Yeah, for national security.
I'm sorry, Judy. $15 an hour, but you are wrong place, wrong time. You're out, kid.
But it's all crazy, and yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me at all about. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Did she fill out the stenographer's oath? Is that a thing? Like, I will never, ever reveal anything.
Well, I was actually thinking that maybe one of them is going to report to a blacklist.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Or to the adversary or whoever, to the clandestine group or
but
something.
But I like what they did better. Because, I mean, what I was trying to say a minute ago, and I don't think I finished it because I want to finish it because it's an interesting point. I think the character is set up as a foil, and it's really nice that the show is acknowledging that the only people making decisions about what's right and wrong at this point is the task force. Mm-hmm. And you know, they gave his Judge Renner that great monologue talking about, is this how this works in the U.S. at this point? The federal government decides what's right and wrong. The system of checks and balances has been completely tossed out the window. Now this cop, this lieutenant in the Metro PD has there's no justice for him.
Yeah.
There's no accountability here with this task force. And it's great that they set up that foil and said, like, acknowledge, like, this task force is deciding in and of itself what's right and wrong. And they've skewed so far to the left or into the gray area, whatever you want to say. They're so far out of bounds that when Lizzie came up and said all this stuff, no one bats an eyelash. So, I mean, I think that's interesting that they're acknowledging that they're so far off the rails.
Well, yeah, they're definitely off the rails. And what I find interesting, we later on, we'll get to Tom Connolly later, which I thought was an awesome scene.
But oh,
it's
great.
We get to hear the other side of it. And I think it totally makes sense because this is a black ops task force, and they're being tried in a public court pretty much when there should be some regulation to that. It should be more private. Obviously, there's a lot of issues
right.
with national security. And it's like a circus trying to find out all this information. I mean, if you were the judge and you got to hear half of the stuff that came out of Lizzie's mouth last week, would you believe it?
No.
I mean, and Judge Renner barely believed it.
And it was great to have smiling. I love the idea. Smiling Tommy Connolly. I love that guy.
He's
so great.
He's so awesome.
I
should have realized that there should be a court for this kind of thing. I think they said the FISA court.
There is.
Yeah.
There's the FICA court and the FISA court. You're right. And then you're not on it. And there is a way we deal with this, and this is not it.
Uh-huh.
And that was great. And I, you know, you're out of your mind. You're in over your head. You have no business doing this.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? And it was interesting to me to see that kind of like that obviously we agree that the task force has to be able to function and can't function with Judge Renner getting involved. But it's interesting that the show, I think, at least drew it all out there and showed everybody, like,
no,
okay,
I appreciate that.
These are the conflicts.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I kind of liked seeing, and even Wilcox, you know, it was a really good courtroom drama, the second half of the show.
Yeah, it really
especially
was.
Especially with Wilcox getting into it and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
And then not to skip ahead to that just yet, because I will save that toward the end, but also to hear, you know, Cooper getting seriously, seriously pissed off at Lizzie because he's perjured himself, and now that everything's coming out and everyone knows the truth except for, of course, the judge, and Lizzie is in danger, you know, of so much more. Even if they get Tom King, they're afraid that Lizzie's still going to be, you know, tried and put to prison or whatever. And we see Cooper just let loose. I don't even know who you are. I don't recognize you anymore. I don't even recognize myself. And then nosebleed.
Nosebleed stroke.
And stroke. Yeah. And seizure.
Seizure, pardon me.
Yeah, and seizure. So, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, that's coming to a head. At least we see it coming to a head. And Lizzie finds out that about the brain tumor that Cooper has from his wife. He finds out from his wife about the brain tumor.
The neuroblastoma?
Yes. So, you know, that ends up, so secrets left and right are starting to be revealed here and there. I mean, luckily they kept the secret of, the brain tumor away from everybody else.
Yes.
He's
hypoglycemic.
Hypoglycemic.
Worst case scenario, he's pre-diabetic. That was great. That was really, I love her.
As well as Aram's, message on the card. Was
right.
It
time, what? To party, time to party bitch? Whatever.
Yeah, time to party bitch.
Unexpected.
Unexpected. By the way, I just want to do a shout out. Terry Pitnick tweeting at us, responding to the list that we were talking earlier about, you know, Tom being number 7 on the list, and she says, I think the list is based on what Red needs them for. So that makes perfect sense. I guess Red definitely needs Tom. So definitely makes me wonder, like, 1 through 6, man, it must be really,
they must be real important.
Really important for him to need them.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's an interesting idea.
It's an interesting idea.
All right. I don't know. I don't know what to do with that. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting.
I mean, technically, Berlin lasted for a while himself. He didn't, you know, I mean, a lot of the blacklisters obviously either get killed off or sent away or disappear
most
on his private.
Most seem to die.
Most seem to die.
Yeah.
We had the one earlier who ended up, I can't remember his name right now. I'm just pulling this out of my hat, but who's, you know, revolutionary in that country.
He didn't do so well.
He's still alive.
Which one are you talking? We're talking about two different people.
Yeah, we're talking about two different people. But anyway, let's move on forward. We don't need to discuss that one. Someone will yell at us about it.
Absolutely,
it's all good. Like I said, just hit me in the top of the head right now. Anyway, so let's talk some more. So we got Cooper going on in the hospital with hypoglycemia, brain cancer. We've got Red and Wrestler insisting on going along with Red to Germany.
When you open your mouth, hay falls out. You couldn't be more of a cop. That's such a great line. You know, it's so funny when those kind of scenes happen, because to me, and it, there was just one on top of the other, because it, you know, I like Diego and I like Megan, but it's, you know, when they're with Spader, there's just, you know, when they go toe to toe, they're just not up to it sometimes, and like, and, you know, it just, it's so clear, it's just like, oh. You know, and there was like back to back there where Diego's like giving him the look right in the eye. No, I'm going to be you're taking me. And it was like, oh, really? Okay. And then Lizzie comes off the elevator and I need to talk to you. I have very important things to say. And it's like, no, come on. But I eventually we got to get to this, and I want to say this in advance so there's no.
Go for it.
Red's really messing with my daddy thing here. If this whole thing with the harbor master, his daughter has been to kind of set that up. They're doing a heck of a job with it.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that, because I want to bring up some stuff on that.
We got to talk about it, Nando.
Anyway, so Red ends up meeting up this guy, this holy guy. Franz Becker, I think his name is. I left my notes at home.
The man with 10,000 piercings.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I'm trying to find out right now if who plays that guy, because
I would imagine that they found someone with the piercings and went from there. I cannot imagine that it was worth the time for them to pierce someone that many times with fakes.
Those have to be fake piercings, but it still probably requires a lot of work from the from the makeup department. That's what I would have to assume, but I don't see his name here in IMDb. I'm sure. Oh, there is Franz Vadim Kral, but you know what? There's no picture of him.
Well, there's video. So, we can see him.
There's no picture of him on IMDb. So let's just assume he's got all those. I would imagine he gets stereotyped a lot.
No.
Just imagine. Yeah. Probably does a lot of circus stuff. Maybe.
Well, you know, it's a good skill set. Speak good German, have 415 piercings. Yeah. Eventually, that day is going to come when the casting call comes down the line.
Who knows? But anyway, so through me, you know, nice little scene with them. Gets to negotiate for him as he's
after he kills the deal in the first place.
After he kills the deal
for the M20.
Exactly.
M20s, were they?
Yeah, for the guns. And and we get to see the first sign of Tom. Seeing Red and Wrestler when the window goes down at their meeting point.
Now that was interesting, because I was really surprised, because to me the first thing he could have done is just pulled his gun and started shooting people.
I was thinking the same thing,
and he didn't do that. And those are the scenes where, you know, Red has done these calculations and he's so casual, But
but you know, I think the thing with Red too, and I think people know him. He never comes. He unless he's really, really pissed off, he never comes in guns a-blazing. It's just like, hey, nice to see you. Well, you might have heard of me, Red Reddington.
But there's like,
let me tell you a story about my uncle.
Right.
That's pretty much what happens.
But there's always like, you know, he's done the calculations, but that doesn't mean everybody else has. It's always rolling the dice. Like you know, like okay, you've done the calculations that Tom shouldn't shoot you, but maybe Tom hasn't done the calculations.
Maybe Tom hasn't. So,
but clearly you know. He had.
Well, you know. There you go. Red has had some backup. Alexis, our producer, is going to go get the pen that you dropped.
I throw things.
He throws things. Luckily, it wasn't at me. We're switching. Unless you really want.
No, it's all good.
Oh, it's all good. So, you know, I will say he did have backup to Dembe. We saw Dembe at the end of that scene, too. So I guess he did have a little backup in case Tom was to
good old Dembe
throw his gun out. But I love how they turned the cop thing around on... on the disenfranted Elias guy. That was the name of the guy. Yeah, this I can't say the German version, but the disenfranchised was the name.
Disenfranchised or dis? Yes.
Yeah, was the name of the group. But I did love when Tom was trying to, turn the tables on him. Go, look, this guy's a cop. He could tell right away. And he's like, of course I'm a cop. Who do you think knows?
Right?
Who do you think knows all this information? I'm working with Red. So I loved all that. They, of course, Elias doesn't trust anybody, so he pretty much just nods his head. And then next thing you know, the gang starts going after Tom. He escapes.
I would like to point out that all of them should have had red shirts on. They went down so fast and easy. That was crazy.
Yeah, they did. But it was a good kick-ass scene.
It was good. It was fun. But it was there was not, you know, like the worst thing that happened was the Land Rover got a window broken and then Red, you know.
Red kind of like sauntered behind the car while all
the
stuff was going.
Yeah, he did. He was kind of casual like, I'm gonna bend down in a minute. Stop. Slow down, please.
He moved a bit slowly. Tom was doing all the major work. And then, of course, Dembe comes in to save the day at the very end, or at least to help out.
Wrestler
picked off a couple too. Yeah, I don't want to take any away from him.
But I liked Red's line at the end of that too.
This is
why we get the insurance.
Well, you know, apparently Red's intention was not to capture Tom Keene, but to send a message. And to, you know, there's a lot of comments throughout the show about this relationship between Tom and Lizzie and the fact that Tom killed the harbor master to protect Lizzie from going to prison.
Right.
Lizzie has kept Tom, has kept everything off quiet about Tom to the judge and whatever else to try and keep Tom away from it. Both of these. And here's the thing that kills me. I think at one point in the show, Lizzie says, I don't want to send Tom to prison for killing, you know, or it was something like, oh my God, he killed a man. I can't send him to prison. This man, let's face it. He kills people for a living.
That's his job.
He has killed more than just a harbor master.
Again, we're in that gray area. The task force has moved from black and white to this. I mean, it didn't really start all that black and white to begin with, but it's gone from gray to gray. Now, I mean, I say off the rails because at this point, their only morality that they're really kind of clinging to is theirs, and Harold has kind of become like the moral center of the show. Like whatever Harold thinks is kind of like become the guideline. And what's interesting to me is that the show is moving Harold away from the moral center.
Yeah.
And we've given him a brain tumor, and the only person that can get him involved in the trial that might save his life is the shady assistant attorney general. And now at this point, Tommy Connolly's got something over his head.
Yeah.
And he perjured himself. So we're moving Harold into the gray zone also. So I mean, like the moral center of the task force has been moved decidedly to a gray spot.
Well, I agree 100%. I mean, and this is why this kind of an episode was important to show Judge Renner, and Wilcox, fighting for the Harbor Master's family, just to show, you know, who else gets affected by this. So that's what makes this an important scene. However, again, it's like, this is one of those campy lines. It's like, Lizzie's like, I can't let Tom go to prison when he's a killer. You know, it's like,
right.
I mean, that's the campiness of this whole thing.
That bizarre gray area that we're in, because from her point of view, he killed the Harbor Master to protect her. Therefore, Tom is not a killer.
Yeah.
That's not how the math works.
Mm-hmm.
Tom's killed a whole bunch of people. That was one more he killed. And the reason he killed them is immaterial. He's killed a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
And killing is not a legal thing.
Absolutely.
That we're allowed to do.
Absolutely. And, of course, Tom doesn't want to go to prison either at first because Tom says he doesn't want to go back. He's not going to go back for Lizzie. He's definitely not going back for Red.
Right.
He disappears into the German scenery, I guess.
The ether in Germany.
Ether, the ether. And of course, you know, Red and Wrestler come back. With, you know, pretty much nothing to show for it. With nothing to show for it. So, in fact, what was it? Was it Samard? It was like, so...
She was great.
That yeah.
was,
So you come back, you don't even bring him back. You ask for his opinion or something? Or what, was,
right.
what was the line again?
It
was something
I don't remember.
Like
it was very smooth. It
but
was
it
great.
Was pretty smooth. It was smoother than me.
I thought I'd remember it, but I didn't. No, so there it is.
But
it was
I didn't.
Good, but apparently...
It was still smooth. Cause, yes. Yeah, because they didn't even like try and bring him... All they had to do was probably bring him back to show proof that...
Yes, he's a thing. Yeah, he's a real person.
He's a real person that's yeah. alive. But of course, he doesn't do that. So instead, we have the last minute, you know, judges, you know, judge about to make a ruling type thing. Tom Connolly's on his way. They're trying to suppress, you know, they're trying to stall him and everything. And he's like, no, we're going to keep going. Everything's denied. And then finally, he gets a knock on the door, says the killer is outside, and it's
yeah.
Tom King in cuffs.
That was something. I didn't expect him to come back, but I liked the way he handled himself, and I liked the idea that he's willing to do this for Lizzie.
Yeah,
I don't quite get it, but mm-hmm. but I like the idea that here's a guy who was picked up as a kid, right, by this I don't remember the blacklist. I don't remember his name.
The major,
trained to be an operative. And, you know, then he falls into a life that whenever he takes up a new identity, right, he actually believes it. He believes it. That's what Red was saying, right? He adopts this identity. He believes he's that thing. So he lives this time with Lizzie. Arguably the happiest he's been, probably mm-hmm. arguably maybe something he would have been had he been given the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, or one of those, you know, if you view your life as a series of possibilities, and, you know, that was probably one of the possibilities he had. And so he enjoyed that, I think. And so it's interesting to me that once he was set adrift, he contacts the major, give me another assignment, let me dive back into something else because I'm completely lost without an identity to assume. But it's interesting that maybe he's clinging back to the only thing that he actually felt was real in his entire life. So if he's willing to take a dive for Lizzie, that maybe that was the only thing he ever had.
As it was said multiple times during the show in various different lines, very twisted, overly romantic, I think was the line that was used
yeah.
earlier. Yeah. Oh, how oddly romantic.
That was Samara. That was
yeah,
Samara.
Samara again. Samara, yeah, oddly romantic. A very twisted kind of love that they
yes.
have there. You know, we Tom going to the defense, talking to, I mean, the judge is like, you're in love with her.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, boy. Crazy, but great scenes all around, and to see Tom, first of all, like, you know, it's very rare that we really talk, and I'm not trying to make any jokes about any other actor or actress on this show, but it's very rare that I think we can actually see an episode and talk about several amazing scenes with actors, between two actors in scenes,
okay,
and none of them involve James Spader.
Yes, I agree.
Because, I mean, first of all, I mean, we love Judge Remmer. That whole scene with Connolly and Remmer was amazing, where they were just shouting at each other, and Remmer's just pretty much saying, you know, you don't have authority here. You coerced these two people, you know, under threat of imminent incarceration. Yeah, incarceration. And, you know, the FISA court, and you're not on the board or
that
all
was
that.
My favorite scene in the show.
Yeah.
That was like two guys in the prime of their abilities. Big shout out, man.
Yeah.
John Finn, terrific. Reed Burney
plays Tom Connolly. Yeah,
so good, man. Mm-hmm. They were so good, and the scene was so well written, and I really 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 enjoyed what I loved about it. Was there was no posturing. There was no, these guys weren't trying to be sexy. They weren't trying to be tough. They mm-hmm. weren't trying to be any of the things that younger actors have to try and be.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if it's four layers down, it always has to be there. These guys are older guys. They really were given a good meaty scene and they kicked the heck out of it. And
mm-hmm.
I thought it was terrific. And you just really got the sense here is two older lions kind of going at it a little bit.
Yeah.
And well done.
And we've seen Tom Connolly before. We're talking with Cooper before,
right?
But to see him in a scene like this was
well, what
really...
I loved about this, when he's with Cooper, he has the upper hand.
Uh-huh.
He's always got the higher status in the relationship. So it's always like, hey, I'm coming down here to spend a few minutes with you. You're welcome. Mm. You know, or I have this, you know, thing you need to do for me or whatever. I'll do this thing for you, but you got to do this thing for me. But it's always higher status. So it's always that relationship. But with Renner, with that, then that's gone. Now you had two guys who, you know, had the status was different. And and Renner is one of those guys who does, you know, he's the character is great because it's structured like I don't care about my career, and I love that in the end, yes, you did,
yeah,
you absolutely did, and you were given no choice but to make the deal, and you did, and I love that. I loved everything about it. I thought it was terrific.
Absolutely amazing. And then the other scene I have to say that was really amazing, or the other actor. Now I'm dropping stuff. We're not stabbing. We're just dropping stuff. We're just throwing stuff. Wilcox at the end. Once the whole thing goes down and Judge Renner gives his gives his verdict and pretty much holds everybody holds whatever it is with that Connolly said as something very important. So he obviously goes with Connolly. Wilcox just totally goes off on Lizzie, and I mean Michael Kostroff. We would love him. He's got that Columbo style.
Yeah.
But this is him just turning it around, too, just laying it into her about, you know, I went to fight for this person, you know, and his wife and his daughter his daughter doesn't have a father now and all this. And, oh, my goodness.
And you know what? Kudos to the costume department.
Yeah.
Not for anything. He's got a great mismatched thing going on. The tie doesn't match the shirt, doesn't match the pants, doesn't match the jacket. It was great. And it was just, you know, they created the character. He, the majority of the kudos goes to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, they created a character that is just so focused on finding out what happened that everything else fell by the wayside, and I totally bought it.
Yeah.
And I love it when I buy a character actor. I love that. That's one of my favorite things. There's so much freedom in being a character actor. You just got to do your job. And you don't have to try and be cool or sexy or whatever. You're just a character actor. You get to do a thing.
He was so good. And I'm guessing because this is pretty much the end of the whole Harbor Master part, the chapter.
Right.
You know, there seems to be resolution on this. I'm guessing that we will not see him again. But, you know, I would not be disappointed to see him in a spinoff. I would not be disappointed to see this character again someplace else.
It would be
awesome if there was a way to bring him back on the show, although, you know, he works in, you know, local PD, so I doubt that we would see him, but
good
that's
stuff.
How much he was, that's how much I loved him. I thought he was awesome.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah. With you. Real good stuff.
So I could totally see something with this guy. That's how big a deal I think he is. And of course, the whole thing too, while this is all going on, is where's Tom Keene? Everyone's playing. Connolly's like, I don't know who Tom Keene. I don't know where he is.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is. What are we talking about? So we don't even know where he is. But just throwing that out there. Let me do a quick shout out to some people first of all, because we're streaming live on YouTube, which we don't always do. But you know, and of course, this is not our usual time. So I want to thank those of you who are actually tuning in live right now. And I'm going to mess up names because that's what I do. MDS 1978, El Candy. Ajay, Joseph Ortiz, and I saw a couple others here. Bart Braswell.
Bart Braswell.
Yeah, of course. I love that name. No relation to Joe. I said Joseph Ortiz. Rats T and Hestia, of course, which I mentioned out earlier. And a lot of them are already talking about this. So let me get into this. They all want to know this. And since we're the two people who are definitely for Daddygate, although I sometimes like to be a little more, I sometimes float a little bit because I try and gather whatever new information. Let's talk about this whole thing. So Lizzie was taking money into an offshore account, which was originally made to, I guess, make us think that maybe she might run. Turns out she was actually setting up a scholarship fund for the daughter of the harbor master.
More than a scholarship fund. If Red bought an apartment in DC for Liz, you know that it wasn't a cheapie. She sold the apartment and then put all that money in the offshore account.
Yeah.
So that the harbor master's daughter would be set up.
Yeah.
And, that was a, I'm, tr- I'm trying to think of the only reason the writers would include that, the only conceivable reason. There's two reasons. I mean, there's two benefits from it, probably more than two. But one of the first two that I can think of is, number one, it's great for Lizzie, makes her look like a more. She's a, obviously, if we needed any more reasons to like her, there's another reason.
This whole episode, they were saying like Lizzie would never kill.
Right,
the
right. So Lizzie's more love for Lizzie. We've got a task force that's moved into, like I said, a non-lawful position, and so it's going to be based on the task force's own idea of morality as opposed to law, then we have to have some more good moral stuff.
Yeah.
And so we have. But I mean, if you want to take a look at the real reason, the big reason that this whole thing is included, I think it's basically to kind of to demonstrate why Red maybe isn't her dad, to kind of illustrate for all of us, that you could be this involved in somebody who's not your kid. And I think for a long time they struggled. How are we going to demonstrate that? How are we going to show that? Because I've said for a season and a half, and I'm not the only one, that if he's not her dad, the whole thing is creepy. And so
it's got to be a damn good reason. I've always said that too. It's got to be a damn good reason.
And now they've illustrated it. They've said, okay, that she's killed she caused the harbor master to die, which in turn caused the harbor master's daughter to, you know, would conceivably have to drop out of school and do all those other things that would be a part of it. You've cost her father and whatever else would have gone along. And so Liz is essentially adopting her from afar. And that is there to illustrate what Red maybe has done with Liz. And therefore Red is not her dad. And it really has screwed up my universe.
Well, I would say I felt that Red's speech to Lizzie about, you know, the guilt that she has and you know, not to make the mistake about, you know, spending all this money and setting them up because
eventually it's just
a gesture.
And it's just for you. It's not for her.
Yeah. So I felt that definitely there seemed to be a little bit of a mirror there.
A little bit of a confessional mirror situation.
A little bit of a confessional mirror situation. So, you know, it now... I get to ask you because you seem to have the trumpet a little louder than me usually about
Nando,
Daddy
I don't Gate. Like this. Nando, I don't like to be wrong. I don't like it.
Do we see a yellow frilly shirt in your future?
Well, I'm just grateful we never made a specific bet, but yes, yes. If we had made a bet, which we thankfully did not, I suspect I'd be wearing a yellow frilly shirt in my future.
Yeah.
A blouse, to be more specific.
I'm sorry, excuse me, a blouse.
And I believe it was a size 2 or 3. It was really not my size.
It was not your size.
It was a little...
Those of you who follow us on Hannibal have seen Joe wearing that before for...
who did I? What was that bet? I don't remember. We had a
about
bet.
Frankie. Whether Frankie was alive or dead or alive. Yeah, I think
and,
it was about
and,
Frankie.
They got me. And we made a bet that whoever was wrong had to wear a shirt of the other person's choosing, and Joe chose a size 3 yellow frilly blouse
for
me.
I'm sure you could find it on the internet.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It matched your skin tone.
I looked pretty.
You did look pretty. So, I'm going to say, look, I still think that there's still a case for Daddygate. There's still a case for him to be daddy. But...
It's getting a little further down.
I feel like, you know what, at least what the writers did is it's a high scene. We can make this work if it's not the daddy. If he's not the daddy, we can still make it work. And I think this week... it definitely showed that, okay, I could believe that. But still, then we'd want to know, the one thing I'd want to know is, who is her daddy? Because if he is implying that he accidentally, however, killed her father,
yes,
then who is her father? And what does he have to do with all of this and the fulcrum? And how deep was her father involved in all of this?
I suspect that we have a season 3 to explore these ideas.
At least a season 3 to explore all these ideas.
A little shout out there to Dante on Twitter. And to Lucy Mort and to Caitlin Kay, because we're all on in this same position. We're all kind of doing this whole Red thing, but we're all kind of questioning now. It's very sad to question things. But I thought this was a great episode. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I really, really kudos. I thought it was very, very well done.
Yeah. So I agree, Danette. I kind of agree. It's a little hard to believe. It's a little hard to believe that Red is the father after that speech.
Right.
But I'm still gonna. You know what? Look, hey, I went with Mike Weston being a follower for
you
three
did.
Seasons of the following.
You did.
For two seasons of the following. I can hold out for
you
this.
You know what's gonna
longer.
Happen is next week Braswell's gonna come in here and he's gonna try and force a bet because now he's gonna smell blood in the water and he's going to try and force a bet. I'm not going to go for it because I know that there's a pretty good chance. And then he's going to try and get me to recant. I hate him.
All right. Well, before we go, let's talk about one other thing here.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about where is Tom Keene? Because we saw at the very, very end, he called Lizzie again.
Yes.
And we don't know exactly where he is. We know that, you know, he's exonerated. I guess they mentioned somehow that Red knew that he would be exonerated because they, I guess him being arrested would still reveal the task force. So they managed to subdue, you know, to hide any
exonerated means he was found not guilty. He was not exonerated.
Well,
he got out. They released
him. I thought they said exonerated. I thought
the line
was exonerated.
That might have been, but that doesn't make any sense. I mean, they've released him.
Well,
he's gone.
He's gone no matter what. So he's not in jail.
Which means he's a benefit to someone not being in jail.
He's a benefit to someone not being in jail. Exactly. So, you know, he's, and of course, I think, you know, they were trumping his arrival back into the show. So what part does he have to play?
For right now, my understanding in the macrocosm.
Yeah.
He is eye candy for the ladies.
You're welcome, Julia.
Honest to goodness, I was really surprised. Watch my wife dance around. No, the reasons why he's a very interesting character. Because look, he's very confused and he really loves her. And look at those push-ups and pull-ups. And it was very funny. I was like, what is this?
Well, you know, Braswell had a really good prediction last week. In fact, when I heard it, I was so jealous. I wish I thought about it. But I do think that the fact that I said the word predictions, maybe we should go to predictions.
Predictions. We're supposed to have a drop in now about predictions.
But we don't. And it's not anyone's fault because I can see that.
AfterBuzz TV.
There we go. It's technical difficulties.
Predictions.
I can see that. So, all right.
That was me. I did the drop in. I faked it.
Beautiful drop in. So let's talk about some predictions. So yeah, Braswell had this great theory that Tom's going to end up on the task force. And I actually think that's a really good thought. I don't think it would happen right away. Mm-hmm. I can't see him being, you know, I could kind of see him being brought in as a criminal, like in order to, you know,
facilitate something.
Yeah, something, you have to start working for the task force. But, you know, right now it looks like he is, I don't know where he is. He's on the loose or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, what would he be like, Dembe status? Like my job is to tail Red and to keep him out of trouble.
I guess.
I don't know. That seems a stretch to me. That's a tough one.
But we know that he wanted to go deep undercover to get away from Lizzie, and now the major. You know, he can't go back to the major after what happened.
Well, I don't think there's a major to go back to.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think there's a major to go back to. So, I mean, what does he? I can't see him going back undercover.
If he's been released by the government,
okay.
So the government has now. They've said, okay, we've got you, and now we're going to release you. There's a reason for that. And there's someone that made that choice. So if someone has released Tom, then they probably have control of him, and they want him to do certain things. So I don't know if it's going to necessarily be connected to the task force. It might be connected to that other group.
Yeah.
That Red's been in contention with, but I can't imagine that the task force is going to have much use for him.
Yeah.
But or would he? I mean, why would he even want anything to do with the task force? That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Working with Lizzie?
That would be weird on many different levels. I could see him working for the for the secret organization.
Yes,
you know, because Connolly is still, you know, he's still like,
we don't know who Connolly is.
We don't know
sure.
who Connolly is, and really, technically, Connolly he might have Tom.
Smiling Tommy Connolly right there, which is such a great name, by the way. That is so awesome.
Well, I have a feeling. Here's my prediction then.
Tell me, what is your prediction, Nando Velasquez? Nando Velasquez, what is your prediction?
My prediction is
before
the end of the season.
Yes.
Okay. Tom will be in danger. Perhaps because of Connolly, perhaps because he ends up working on the other side again, you know, working for this organization.
Yes, yes.
And Lizzie and Red are going to have to rescue him.
So he will have to be rescued by Lizzie and Red.
Yes.
Out Tom. I got it. All right.
Yeah, to bail out Tom from whatever situation Tom is in. So
I got you.
So they're going to have to rescue him. I mean, today was not really, this week's show was not about rescuing Tom as much as just getting him out to exonerate Lizzie. But I think Tom is in danger.
I got
now
you.
Now that he's back in the States, and he's going to be in danger really soon.
So, maybe one of those Germans made it, you know, red shirts.
I don't think it'll be the Germans, but I think it might be Connolly.
I never said it, but what great casting! Like, who can we bring in that we can infiltrate with Tom and have him beat the living hell out of him, and no one will feel anything bad for them? German neo Nazis. Yes, perfect. German neo Nazis.
Yeah,
awesome.
There we go.
My predictions, I'm predicting that my whole house of cards that made read Lizzie's daddy's collapsing around me, and that's the only prediction I have. I predict that if Braswell comes back and really puts me on the spot, I'm going to wind up wearing a tutu or something.
Well, we'll see about that. But anyway, we pretty much are wrapping up this edition of the After Buzz Blacklist Recap Show. Joe Braswell and Julia Caroli will hopefully be back next week, and we hopefully will be back on our normal time, which is Thursday nights 10 o'clock Pacific time usually. When we all look our best. Hopefully we won't have a couple of conflicts that we had this week. You can find Joe Braswell on Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. You can find Julia Caroli at Julia Caroli on Twitter and Instagram. Where can we find you, sir?
At Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo on Twitter. And my website is josephsanflippo.com.
Okay, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nandovel, Nandovel, and here at AfterBuzz for a bunch of other shows like The Walking Dead, which is wrapping up in 2 weeks. Ooh. Bates Motel, which is really, really exciting. With you and Braswell and a couple others, Survivor, Scorpion, that kind of stuff. But anyway, thanks again. Tune in next week for another edition of Blacklist. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.